Turn to Colossians 3. This was definitely the shortest drive to preach I've had in a while. We've been down to North Carolina the last 2 weekends. That gets to be a long drive. But we enjoyed it, had good company, had good fellowship. Seemed that the Lord blessed. And that's what's important. The Lord blessing us and being with us. Nothing else matters, does it? Absolutely nothing else matters. And that we have His presence and His blessing. I ask you this question. What is your heart set on? What is it set on? It's set on something. It's set on something has my heart. And whatever it is, has me. It has me. Paul tells us here to set our affection on things above. The Christian life, it's not rules. It is not regulations. It is not ceremonies, going through ceremonies. As Paul says over in chapter 2, it's not touch not, taste not, handle not. Then what is it? What is it? What is it to truly be a Christian? And you know that name is so abused in our day. It's so abused. But what is it to be a child of God? Well, first of all, it's spiritual. It is spiritual life. It's not of this flesh. Even though we still live in the flesh, we are not of this world. The Lord said in John 17, 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. How real is that to you? I want to know this. And I ask myself this quite often as I've gotten older. How real is Jesus Christ to me? How real is the kingdom of God to me? How real is it? I mentioned that, or made that statement in North Carolina. And a man in the congregation came up to me afterwards, and he said, you know, sometimes, he said, I think we get lost in thinking it's more like a fairy tale or a fantasy. He said, we forget how real it is. That spiritual life, that spiritual kingdom and Christ and salvation and eternity and our union with Him is very, very real. It's as real as this I'm standing here. It's that real. Abraham, when he was called to go out, it says he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. That's how real it was to him. He was looking for a city. And the builder of that city, he said, is God. Not of men, but of God. Now he says here, in verse 1, if, oh, that's a big word. That's a big word, isn't it? If you are not a tare, but you're actually a wheat. If you're not a goat, you're actually a sheep. And you're not a wolf, then seek those things which are above. Set your heart on those things. Or Paul is saying it this way, or seeing, since he's writing to the church of God here, he's writing to believers, seeing that you're risen with Christ. If it's so, if it's really so, that you are risen with Christ, that you are joined with Him, then seek those things which are above. Paul's telling us this because he wants to warn us of those who would try to come and they would interject works. Or over in chapter 2, he says that they touch not, taste not, handle not, and philosophy of men. And he warns against this. And the only way, the truest way, to be protected of this is our hearts, our affection, our mind is set on Christ. If it's set on, if it's truly set, fixed, that's what it is, fixed on Him. Now, he starts here. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. This is our life here. Now, this is our life now. This is how we are to live. This is how we are to live now. And it starts with our thoughts, doesn't it? Our affection, our mind. I said one way to keep from being duped is to set your mind on things above where the Lord sits at God's right hand. Solomon said this, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We are what we think. Just as we are what we eat. We are what we think. And we are responsible for our thoughts. I'm responsible for my thoughts. It's my mind. It's your mind. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look in verse 5. Casting down imaginations, reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing every thought that passes through my mind unto the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said, this is true intellectual liberty. When we can bring every thought before the Lord. When we can bring every thought and present it before Him. Having every thought into subject to obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Obedience starts in the heart. It starts in the heart. That's why Solomon said, Son, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. The Lord said this one time, what think ye of Christ? What do you think? What do you think of Christ? What's your thoughts of Christ? You know this? Here is one thing that determines whether I'm lost or saved. What are my thoughts of Christ? We can have our doctrine right while our heart is still wrong. We can. I sat down late last night. I thought about this, and then I sat down and wrote these out last night. And I thought, this is what I want. I can say this, as I've gotten older, the desire of my heart is that my heart be right with God. David said this, give me a clean heart and a right spirit. Give me a clean heart and a right spirit. That's what I want. I am more concerned right now. When I was young, let me put it this way. When I was young, I was more concerned about dying going to hell. Now that I'm older, I'm more concerned with the hell that's still in me. That's what I'm concerned with. I'm concerned with that old wretched man that I am. I'm more concerned with overcoming indwelling sin than I am anything else. Lord, enable me to, as David said, let not any sin any sin have dominion over me. Not let that not any iniquity have dominion over me. I'm more concerned with that. Here's what I'm more concerned with now. Love your enemies. How's that working out for you? I know you believe the doctrine of election. I know you believe particular redemption. I know you believe that. Some of you cut your teeth on it. You grew up under that. That's all you've known. But how's loving your enemy going? That's what I find trouble with. I'm having trouble with that. Pray for those who despitefully use you. How's that going? I tell you what, true Christianity, it's not so much found in the doctrines that we hold. Because if you believe the gospel, you're going to believe the doctrines. You're going to get it right. You're going to get it right. But the problem I see, and I see where true Christianity lies, is this. Love your enemies. Pray for them who despitefully use you. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. That's what I'm concerned with. Those things. Those are the things that I'm troubled about. Those are the things that I fight with. I'm not going to fuss with somebody over election. If they don't believe it, they don't believe it. I told a young man the other day, he was asking me about the call to preach. Like I know something about that. I'm like, you're talking to the wrong man. Because I don't know that you ever really know it. You just do it. You just do it. But I told him, I said, don't get caught up in fighting with religion. The Lord said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And what did he tell him to do? Feed my sheep. Peter has such an attitude about him, such a personality about him, that he would have just jumped right in the face of those Pharisees. He'd have jumped right straddled those Sadducees. And he'd have been fighting those, and the sheep would have been starved to death. I said, I'll give you this piece of advice. Feed the sheep. Don't get caught up fighting somebody, I believe election, you don't believe elections. So what? You're never going to believe it unless God saves you. And if you do, there's a lot of people in hell who believe it. That doesn't save you. I told him there's no one in hell who loves Christ. No one there loves Him. Pray for you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Oh, that's... Which would you rather have? What do you really want? Clean heart and the right spirit, or you just don't want to go to hell? Which one? Well, I tell you, there's a big difference in that. There's a big difference. If our hearts are set on things above, where Christ sits at the Father's right hand, that's when we will grow in grace and in knowledge of Him. When it's set on Him. When He becomes that real to you. When Jesus Christ is not someone who lived, but someone who lives. And He's someone who lives in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Election, as I said, election's not hard to believe, but I tell you what. Loving my enemies is a tough one. That takes grace. That takes a work of God. Now, Jesus Christ is the object of our affection. He said, if you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sits. He's the object. He's the object of our affections. All blessings flow to us through Him. Therefore, whatever we seek above, He's the center of it. He's the object of it. As I get older, I want to become obsessed. I do. I want to become obsessed with Him. I want to become obsessed with knowing Him. You know what I think would be a good way to die? When we come to die. And we see the Lord. Wouldn't it be great to have such a relationship with Him right now that there's no surprises? That's just like Him. You're surprised because you didn't know it. That's why. And we can know the Lord far better than we do. We can walk with Him much more than we do. We can. Don't set your mind, he says here, on the things of the earth, this material world. This material, it'll disappoint you. I'm telling you, it'll disappoint you. And you're not going to take it with you. No matter what you gain of this world, it won't go with you. And our Lord here is warning us through Paul, don't set your mind on this world. God's going to burn it up. On these material things. As I said, Christ said, you're not of this world. Don't be overly concerned with what am I going to eat. I don't think any of us so. It's like we look like we're concerned about that, doesn't it? That's got us tore up, doesn't it? What are we going to eat? Our situation is pushing it away. What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Don't be obsessed with these things. The Lord keeps telling us throughout the Scriptures, don't be obsessed with these things. This is not your life. We are in this world. Okay, I live in this world. You live in this world. We get up every morning, go to work. But we don't live in this world. We literally, now this is true, we literally live in another world right now. We live in another kingdom. And it amazes me. It just amazes me anymore that we get so upset over what Washington's doing than we do over what's going on in the kingdom of God. Well, I tell you, there's some spiritual problems when you're so upset over what's going on in the kingdom of men than you are with what's going on in the kingdom of God. Our Lord said in teaching the disciples to pray, thy kingdom come. Pray for the success of his kingdom. Praying that his kingdom would be exalted. Whose kingdom are we concerned with? Obama doesn't have me tore up at all. I'm telling you the truth. He doesn't have me tore up at all. My Lord sits at God's right hand. He sits there. Now, we just read it. So why do we get so tore up? The whole world. I said this to a young man the other day. He was talking to me about something that he thought was just like crazy. I said, son, the whole world lies in wickedness. All of it. There's only one book ever written that doesn't have any sin in it. This one. That's the only book that absolutely does not have any sin in it. Every book written by men out there is full of sin. And I tell you, it lies in wickedness. It lies in wickedness. And that's why we're not to set our heart on these things, because we're not of this world anymore. We don't live in this world anymore. We live in another kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. I'm not waiting for it to come. We're in it. We're waiting for our Lord to come. We're waiting for Him to come. And get us, take us out of this world. But my soul, we live in it now. And we need to live in the reality of that. Christ said, the kingdom of God is in you. He said, it doesn't come with observation. Don't be looking for something to be falling down out of heaven. It doesn't come with observation. He said, the kingdom of God's in you. If you have Christ, the kingdom of God's in you. And you're dead. Now, when did I die? I don't remember that. I don't remember dying. You remember dying? Verse 3, for you're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. He's telling us here, you belong to another world. That's what he's telling us. This is how you live, because you don't live in this world no more. You don't seek after things of this world no more. You don't live after the principles of it anymore. Not a believer. You're dead. When did I die? At Calvary. That's a real death. That is a real death. We died at Calvary. I was put to death in Christ 2,000 years ago. Now we need to live in the reality of that. We need to reckon that to be so. And sooner or later this old body will die. I won't die because I already died. I died in Christ. In a little while, this body will die and I'll leave this old tabernacle and go be with the Lord. You're dead. You're dead. And he's saying here, you're dead to the materials of this world, to this material life, to the principles of this world. You're dead to it. You're risen with Christ to a new life. It's a new life. If you made a profession and it's not a new life and you're still the old way, you're just as lost as the day you're born. Just as lost. Because when the Lord saves, He gives a new life. A new one. He didn't renovate this one. It's a new one. And your love, your interest, all that's different. Now I'll show you, we still war here in a minute. But you're dead. You died in Christ and now you're dead to this world. You're dead to the materials of it. This is not us. It's not us. It's not me no more. I've been thinking about this for a while. You know, the church lives under one head. The Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been thinking, my thoughts should be, Lord, what would you have me to do? Most of our thoughts is what I want to do, really. It's what would you have me to do? You're the king. What would the king have me to do today? You pray and ask the king, King Jesus, guide my steps today. Guide my thoughts today. And thy will be done. Because we live in that world, not this one anymore. And your life, what's he talking about your life? What life? The life of God in the soul. That eternal life that you have given in Christ. You are risen with Christ. It says, look in verse 12 of chapter 2. You're buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him. I am already risen. This is so good. I've already died, and I'm already risen. You believe that. That's why the Lord said to Martha and Mary, I am the resurrection. You're buried with Christ, when also you're risen with Him. I'm already risen. I've already experienced a resurrection. And then one day, my new man, that new spirit, that new man, is going to meet that new body. It's going to be joined to that new body that's going to be brought out of the grave. I'm already raised. I've already experienced the resurrection. I experienced it. I experienced it at Calvary when He came out of the grave, and I experienced it in the new birth. But living in this life just gets confusing, doesn't it? It gets our minds on things on the earth instead of things above. Now, how much easier it would be if we literally lived this. If our minds, our hearts, our affection was set on things above. My soul, you realize how much more content? That, if I've learned this, contentment is priceless. It's priceless. I would rather live in a shack with contentment than in a castle, and I'm wondering what in the world am I going to get next? The rich man's riches, it says, won't let him sleep. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, this means you are a son or daughter of God. Now live in the reality of it. Live in the reality of it. And when He shall appear, when Christ, who is our life, when Christ our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Never apart from Him. Never apart from Him. And we are not going to just see His glory. We are going to be partakers of His glory. sons and daughters. How could you not be a partaker of the glory of God when you're a son and daughter of God? You said we're partakers of the divine nature. When He appears. When He appears. Then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. But until then. Until then. We have a war. We have a war to fight. And the greatest war we have to fight is right here. It's within us. The greatest war I have, the greatest battle I have to deal with is right in me. It's my attitude. It's just the sinful inclinations I have. And you notice he says here, mortify. That word means deadened. It also means discipline. But here's the shocking thing. These things are still in us. These things are still... I'm just as rotten as I ever was by nature. I have just as much sin in me as I ever did by nature. I haven't lost any of it. I haven't lost one grain of sin. It's still in me, put away by Christ, but it's still there. And it wars. It wars in my members. It wars. There's a reason why they say don't feed the bears. Idiots feed the bears. Don't feed that old nature. That's what he's saying. Don't feed that old nature. Don't do it. Scripture says, shun every appearance of evil. That's right. You can't handle, you cannot handle what's in you. Have you learned that lesson yet? Have you learned you can't handle that old nature? It'll whip you every time. You think, oh, I can stand closer to the fire than I used to. You're an idiot. You can't do it. It still burns. And it'll burn you. You think you can resist? Let him that think he standeth, take heed lest he what? Fall. Fall. Here's the warfare. Here it is. Mortify. Mortify. Therefore your members which are upon the earth. And he starts naming them. Fornication. That's any sexual relationship outside the marriage. Now don't think you can, oh, I can resist. No, you can't. No, you can't. Don't put yourself in that situation where you have to. Because that nature is far greater than we are. And the Lord doesn't condone it. And he says here, and if you have to realize too, of course, this is the same way in our day. Back in this day, the Gentiles thought nothing of this. It was just normal. But Paul says here, this is still in us. Any sexual relationship outside of marriage, he said, mortify, dead, discipline yourself. Uncleanness. Here's what this is. Uncleanness. Homosexuality. Incest. It's feminine men. Masculine women. That's what that has to do with. He said, you deaden that. You discipline that. You don't ever do that. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection. That's desire. You know, inordinate affection is going beyond what desire, what you don't need to be desiring. Going after what you don't need to go after. Evil concupiscence. That word concupiscence has to do with desire. It doesn't say just desire, because there are things we should desire. Listen to it. There's good things we should desire. We should desire to be in each other's presence. We should desire to love God. We should desire to be kind. We should desire. There are good desires. He said here, evil desire. Evil desires. Don't give in to that. Don't feed it. Don't feed it. And covetousness. You know, covetousness, when it boils down to it, is a love for myself more than it is a love for God. Scripture calls it idolatry. It's something that I want so bad that I idolize it. no matter what it is. Covetousness. And it's because of these things, God's wrath is coming on the children of disobedience. Now, someone may say, I'd never commit fornication. Well, you may not. You may not. Years ago, a lady was bragging about being a virgin when she was married. Well, hell's full of them. Hell's full of them. It's good that you don't. It'll save you from a lot of heartaches. You know, there are choices we make that we can be forgiven of. But the consequences sometimes never go away. The sword never left David's house over his sin. I'd never think about homosexuality. I'd never have evil desires. Well, if you think you missed out on that one, Paul gets you on the next one. But now put off all these. That's going to drive right at the heart. Anger. You ever just find yourself angry? Anger. Angry at somebody. The Lord said, be angry with your brother without a cause of murder. Anger. Just upset and just angry all the time. I know people like that. And I'm that way way too much. Way too much. And wrath. Get even. You ever just want to get even with somebody? Malice. Blasphemy. Filthy communication out of your mouth. If you think you haven't done it in the flesh, you sure have done something in the spirit. We don't escape. Brethren, we're full of sin. I told them down in North Carolina last week, we're just a mess. We're an absolute mess. That's why God had to come into this world to save us. If we weren't such a mess, we wouldn't need such a salvation. We are a mess, and I'm preaching to a mess, and I'm a mess preaching to a mess. You sure better hope God's in this. It'll turn out to be a mess. It will. And lie not one to another. Lie not one to another. You ever lie to your spouse? No. You ain't never done that, have you? You ever lied to one another? You like his dress? Yeah, right. I would say that. Surely you've got more sense than that. But. Lie not one to another. I was watching this on YouTube, it's TED. They give these different talks, you know, people do. And this woman was giving a talk on liars. And this had nothing to do with the scriptures. Nothing to do. But they said when a husband and wife speak to each other, within so many seconds, I forget how many it was, they start lying. We have never absolutely told the truth 100%. We hold something back. We collar it just a little. Lie not one to another. You ever lie to each one? Why, you know we have. He says, put that to death. You deaden it. You discipline yourself. You're just better off keeping your mouth shut, really. In most cases. Lie not one to another, seeing you've put off the old man with his deeds. What he's been giving us here is the nature of the old man, the conduct of the old man. You know that you will never find one place in the Word of God that says anything good about this flesh. Nothing. From Genesis to Revelation, nothing. Absolutely nothing. And you put on, but now he's going to have the deeds of the new man. Here we're going to have the deeds of the new man. And you put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Not renovated him. Let's get that right. After the image of him that renovated him? No. Created him. It's a new creation. You are a new person. That's why you live in a new world. You live in the kingdom of God is where you live. You put on, you feed Him. You exercise Him. Before you go walking around the track in the morning, how about walking the new man in the green pastures? Wouldn't that be a treat? Wouldn't that be something? How about taking a walk through the Word of God before you go out there on the track? Makes a difference. I'm telling you, it'll make a difference. If it's done in sincerity. He says here, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. He's a new person. Now, because of this, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, the worst there was, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. All the distinctions gone. You think you're somebody? Well, if God ever saved you, they'll change. Christ is everything. And you and I are nothing until we're in Him. And then we're sons of God. And what's that? I can't put that into words. I can't put it into words. Now put therefore on. Now put on therefore. Now here's the dress code of the new man. Put on therefore as the elect of God. And this is what I want. I can say this. This is what I want. This is what I'm concerned with. Put on as God's chosen people. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Bowels of mercies. Would you like somebody to be merciful to you? You want to know how many times you ought to forgive your brother? Or anyone that asks. You know how many times to do it? As many times as you want God to forgive you. That's how many times you forgive. That's how many times. Kindness. Boy, we could use that in this world, couldn't we? Kindness. Humbleness of mind. Meekness, long-suffering. Forbearing one another. Thank you for putting up with me. Yeah, right, because I put up with you too. We put up with each other. That's why we have some tolerance. Or we just wouldn't be able to do it. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And the basis of forgiveness is this. If any have a quarrel against any, if any of you, and this is to the church, this is not to the world, because he said put on the new man. The world can't do that. There's not one to put on. He's writing here to God's people. Now, if any of you have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, and boy, that's on a higher scale, isn't it? Isn't that on a higher level? So also do you. You do the same on that basis. He goes, why should I forgive him? Well, why should God forgive you? And above all these things, put on love. Put on love. It makes everything work together in harmony. Apart from that, you're just a gong show. You're a hypocrite. You're a fake. But all this, just when you put on this bowels of mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, and the one that you put the big overcoat that you put on. In the wintertime, you know, you put on a big overcoat after you're dressed up. Love. Love. It's the one thing that'll hold you together when everything else is falling apart. It's love. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Get this. Oh man, I'm going too long. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. You know what this means? Get this. Let the peace of God settle every difference in your heart that's going on in there. You angry with somebody? Let the peace of God settle that. Someone said it's the umpire. I read another translation of it. Let the peace of God govern everything you do. Let it govern, control. And let the word of God, he said here, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing you. But let the word, in other words, here's what this one means. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Let it find a home in you. Does the word of God have a home in you? Does it really? You know, we know the right things to say. I'm not looking for the right things to say. I'm looking for what's real. He says, let it find a home in you. Abide in you. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, and this will handle all problems, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. If we could do this, whatever we do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord. Everything I do, can I do it in the name of the Lord? Let that be the standard. Let that be the line. Can I do this in the name of the Lord? Can I? Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now He comes to this, and I'll try to be brief with this. Now He comes with our conduct here with each other. But He gives us these things first. Set your heart on things above. For Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your mind, your affection on things above. Set it on there. Seek those things which are above. Because if you don't, this other stuff doesn't work. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband does not work if your heart is not set on Christ. Oh, you can fake submission for a while, but I guarantee you, you'll want to slap my daylights out of him before it's over with. That ain't submission. That's not submission. Submission is when you really say, thy will be done. But if your heart is set on things above, and he's writing to the church here. Now the world has, you know, the world just has, they got to do what they got to do to so they can keep killing each other until they get to the end. But this is to us. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. And there's a standard. There's the standard. If it comes between you and the Lord, you do what the Lord have you to do. You do what's right in God's sight. Not your husband. But, in all things that are proper, you submit to Him. That's what He says. Now, you say, I can go, I'm going to do that. Well, go on. Go break a leg. But if you believe God, this is what you do. This is what you do. And husbands, love your wives. You know, you can't fake love. I don't care all the gifts and all the flowers in the world. It's not going to take the place of love. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter. Isn't that sad? He even tells us not to be bitter against them. Don't speak mean to them. That's what he's saying. When he's saying, don't speak mean to your wife. You say, well, I've never done that. Ain't nobody here going to say that. Because you know you've done that. Because we have that nature still in us. But he tells us here, husbands, love your wives. Another place he said, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Children, obey your parents in all things. He's got something here for the children. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Don't break their spirits, lest they be discouraged. And the servants and the masters, he's got something to say to them in chapter 4, verse 1. But brethren, none of this works if your heart's not set on things above. If your heart's not set on Christ, these things don't work. They don't work. What is your heart set on? That's what you will go after. What your heart is set on. And we are not of this world. We are not of this world. We're of another world. Is that real? Is that real to you? Is Christ real to you? Is salvation real to you? Is it? Then seek those things which are above, where the Lord sits, at God's right hand. Okay, Roy.